Hey gang, welcome to our Daily Bread. And for those of you that were able to join me on our prayer call, we just had a wonderful time of prayer this morning, this afternoon. I guess it was 15 minutes of power. And thanks for joining me, for those of you that did. And if you weren't able to, no problem. We'll probably have another one maybe in a few days or next week. We'll see how the Lord leads. But we have our daily bread all the time, and there's powerful prayer here as well. And, of course, I just want to remind you how staying connected is such a vital part of what God is saying right now. Like, not that he's ever not said it. He's always said how important it is that we stay connected. But all the more, the Bible says, all the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't it interesting? He says all the more. Like, no matter how connected we are, he wants us to go further in our connection with each other and deeper in our connection with each other. And so I want you to know that our church services online are the central part of our connection. It's the cornerstone of our connection is gathering as a church. And even right now, online gathering as a church on Sundays and Wednesdays is the cornerstone of our relationship, and how God operates in the earth is through the church being connected together. And in addition to that, our daily bread is supplementing that, and it's a powerful time together. So as often as you want to join me, I'm here, whether one person joins me or whether 10,000 people join me. I'm here to unleash the anointing of God that's in my life to provide content for however long the internet, however long the internet exists, our content will be out there. And so it matters to me the things that we talk about. And my content is very important to me. The study that I put into it, the prayer that I put into it, the passion that I put into it. And so I hope that you're appreciating and receiving the content, because it's so much better than my personality. The content is so much better than my skill of delivering it. So if you could look past my idiosyncrasies, look past my deficiencies, and look at the content, because the content is king. The content is what changes your life. The content of what is being shared is where the power is, and not in the vessel that it shared through, but in the content that comes through the vessel. So that's all we all are. We're earthen vessels, and I'm just an old earthen vessel of a jug of water that God's turning in some of it into wine. So hopefully that you'll benefit from the content of what's taught here on a daily basis. And what we talk about here on a daily basis. Now, I want to say two things about the lockdown and where we're at as a country. And I'm not going to spend a long time on it, because I want to get to this content from the precious promises of the blood of Jesus, because I want to go back to that. But so two things. Number one, let's be patient with each other, and let's be patient with coming back to church on site. We're going to be patient about that, because we don't want to have a false start. You know, in football, when an offensive lineman, he steps out into the neutral zone, he steps over the line of the defense prematurely before the rest of the team does, it's called a false start. And then he's got to come back, and then they got to go 5 yards back. So they lose five or 10? I think, it's 5 or 10. I can't remember. I haven't seen football in a long time. I don't even remember football. Have you ever heard of football? Anyway, the point is that if you have a false start, it's 5 yards. Thank you. If you have a false start, you have to go 5 yards back. So there have been some churches that have gone and gone ahead and regathered, and some have had a false start and they've had to pull back, and I don't want a false start. So I want you to trust me. You've trusted me this far. Trust me as your pastor. I'm following the peace of God. our president and governor are duking it out in court because the president's like, hey, churches are essential and they need to be able to gather provided they follow CDC guidelines. And some governors are saying it doesn't matter what the president says. We're not letting people out. And don't take that in a negative way. It's kind of a joke. But yeah, that battle is going on. And I've already made my position known to my governor. I've made my position known to the president. I've made my position known to the attorney general. I've made my position known multiple times to the governor. So I've done my part. And all that mattered to me was that the government recognizes that churches are essential because God already recognized us as such, and the Constitution already recognizes us as such, and I was fighting for people to honor the Constitution. Now that they are honoring that, and we'll work out the details of when, just be patient and hang in there and stay connected online in the meantime. That's the first thing I want to say about the lockdown. The second thing I want to say about church and our nation and unity is there's a scripture. We need to be in unity. That doesn't mean we're all going to be Democrats or we're all going to be Republicans. It doesn't mean we're all going to be White Sox fans or we're all going to be Cubs fans. It doesn't mean we're all going to like the Yankees or we're going to like the Mets. It doesn't mean we're all going to like football or we're all going to like soccer. The Bible says, and here's something God spoke to me this morning as I was getting ready for this. And God spoke to me that in Second Corinthians 1 or 1 Corinthians 1, but I heard this verse, and that is, let there be no divisions among you. Let there be no divisions among you. Let there be no divisions among you. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, some people take that the wrong way. He doesn't say, listen to what he doesn't say. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10 or 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, he doesn't say, let there be no differences among you. Ah, there's the secret. That's what God spoke to me. He doesn't say, let there be no differences among you. He said, let there be no divisions among you. So we can have our differences. I saw somebody just put a comment online saying, I disagree. Cool. Let there be no divisions among us. We can have differences, but not divisions. So I could be a Democrat, you could be a Republican, or vice versa. So we have differences from a political standpoint, but we don't allow those differences to create division among us. Ah, see the power in that? Do you see the power in that? Like, I can disagree with the governor, and I can disagree with the president, or I could agree with the president and the governor. But my differences with them don't create division between me and them, even though that's not as important. The unity in our nation is not as important as the unity of our church and the unity in the body of Christ. So let there be no divisions among you, but go ahead and let there be differences. Some of my favorite people online and some of my favorite members of church have a completely different perspective than mine on politics. And that's cool. I am totally cool with that. I will never force our church to be small-minded and limited to one political point of view or one race or one ethnicity. In fact, there's different points of view politically among white the race, among the black race, among the Hispanic race. Like, you don't have to be a certain political persuasion to be black or to be Hispanic or to be white. Like, let's be individuals and let's have differences without divisions. When you allow your differences to divide you, then Satan gets the win. And I'm not giving Satan any wins. Satan is defeated. He's a liar. He's the author of division and accusation and hatred and divisiveness. But God is so big and God is so welcoming And God's tent is so wide that, listen to me, that God, have you ever asked the question? I want you to think about this for a moment. Have you ever asked the question, why are there so many denominations among Christianity? Like among Muslims, there's like one group of Muslims. I haven't studied it enough to know if there's all these different denominations, but from the naked eye, it doesn't look like there's a lot of different denominations. When you go by a mosque, when you drive by a mosque, it's like just like a mosque. It doesn't say First Mosque. It doesn't say First Maccabees Mosque and First Jerusalem, Second Jerusalem Mosque. It doesn't seem to have any sort of distinction when it comes to mosques or synagogues. It's not like the synagogue of the Jews that were baptized in the name and the synagogue of the Jews that were baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some Christians are like, hey, if you didn't get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to hell. You're not saved. This is where we can't let our differences divide us. So why are there so many denominations, church denominations around the world? It's because God's tent is wide. God's tent is far and God's tent is wide, and God is cool with people taking a different look at how churches should function. A church can function as a congregational church or as a Presbyterian church or as a bishop Episcopalian church. All of those are different forms of church leadership and church government. And then there's churches like ours that are independent churches that we are family with a lot of different people and a lot of different churches. We have a certain flavor that's charismatic and spirit-filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we have that kind of flavor, but we're rooted so deeply in Scripture. And there's several churches in the world like ours, but I'm not limited to just that group of people. I want Baptists to come to my church and Presbyterians and Pentecostals and Catholics, all are welcome. Jesus wants the church to be unified. He doesn't want the church to be divided. What keeps us connected is love, and what keeps us connected is unity. Unity with diversity. That's why in my church, you walk into my church on a Sunday when we reopen the doors, you're going to see people from 70 different nations. You're going to see white, black, you're going to see Democrats, Republicans. And I sit back and laugh and rejoice at that. Because if we're just one political party, we're narrow-minded. If we're one race, we're narrow-minded. Let's be all the races. Let's truly be the Rainbow Coalition. Okay? Jesse Jackson needs to come on over to Life Changers and bring the Rainbow Coalition, and he'll see what it really looks like to be a Rainbow Coalition. So some of you guys that know him, let him know. I send my love and tell him to come on out. And we'll have a good time of prayer together. So you get me? We can have differences without division. But if we have divisions, then the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So you can maintain your political position. I can maintain mine. You can maintain your capitalism versus, more social programs for the poor. We can all debate that. There's something good about all of that. But the church is not a place to debate that. You can debate that in the marketplace. But when we come together, his banner over us, oh, help me now. I'm preaching now. I feel like it's still Sunday and it's Monday. But his banner over us is love. You know that scripture? His banner over us is love. His banner over us is love. Wow. Let's live there. Let's live there. Tell it on the mountain. Tell it to the world. Life Changers Church is the most unified church with the most diversity in church that anybody knows of. Go tell them. Go tell them. And tell them to come. Tell them to come online. Tell them to join the band. Tell them to join the United Church. Tell them to join the church with differences, but no divisions. The church with differences, with no divisions. That's right. It's just like heaven on earth. And it's just like what heaven's going to be like. Differences with no divisions. Hey, anybody drunk on this new wine yet that I'm sharing with you? Because I'm feeling a little tipsy right now from this thing. This is good. And I'm blessed. So let me just end this with one with just reading to you how the blood of Jesus is proof that he loves you. And then we'll pray a unifying prayer right after that. But I want you to remember this. His banner over us is love. And listen, when I get upset and I look at what's happening in the world and I got my opinions of that, I get all that out of my system. I got it. And I got to get those fish out of my aquarium. They're swimming around in my head and I need to, like, you know, dig them out, fish them out. But when it's all said and done, we're all a work in progress. And his banner over us is love. And that's what makes Life Changers Church such a precious, precious community of people. And I am honored that you would consider yourself a part of this family, either locally or globally or in some way connected. Wow, it's precious. His banner over us is love. Differences with no division. In fact, let's celebrate our differences and let's celebrate our diversity without divisions. Let's celebrate our diversity with unity without divisions. Let's celebrate it. Let's talk about it. Like, isn't it cool that we can come together and there's so many different races in our church and there's so many different ethnic groups in our church and there's so many different political points of view in our church and there's so many shades of color in our church and there's so many different age groups in our church and there's like old people and young people and everything in between. Let's celebrate what Jesus did to birth the church and let's celebrate what these great soldiers did to give us freedom. Amen. On this Memorial Day. All right, the blood of Jesus is proof that he loves you. I'm reading some of this to you, and you can get this for free. And let me send this book to you, Precious Promises of the Blood of Jesus. You were God's idea. You were God's idea. He loved you before the world began. Revelation 1 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins by his own blood and made us kings and priests. I want to focus on the, he loved us and then he washed us. Notice the order in which God does this marvelous work. First, he loved us. He's always loved us. I have always loved you. We talked about that yesterday in church. God said, I have always loved you. I will never stop loving you. I've never stopped loving you, he said, and I never will. Wow, precious time yesterday. Go back and watch yesterday's church service. You will love what God did among us, and you will love the special song that our team did. It's so precious. It's so great. I fell asleep to that song last night. In fact, as soon as the song ended, I woke up because it was brought me so much peace that when the song was over, I woke up. It happened to me like three times last night. I just played the song over and over again until I didn't wake back up until 6 this morning or whenever I woke up. All right, so notice the order. First he loved us, then he washed us. He does not love what is washed. He does not love what is washed. He washes what he loves. He doesn't wash us and then say, okay, now you're clean, so now I love you. No, he loves you and he cleans us in his own blood because he loves us. Every bit of grace that God gives us is because the motive behind God's grace is love. The reason, the why, the W-H-Y, the why behind grace is love. That's the reason why God gives us everything freely, is because he loves us. You see, God gave his very best to purchase you and to prove to you how valuable that you are to him. The value of something is determined by the price in which someone would pay for it. The value of something is revealed based on the price that somebody would pay for it. Well, God paid the ultimate price for you and for me. Why would he pay that high of a price for something he didn't value? He wouldn't. So his blood is proof of your worth. His blood is proof of the value that God places on you. Jesus' blood purchases you for the Father. He paid the greatest price so you would never have to question his love. He paid in blood so you never have to question his love. Does God really love me? Yes, he gave his blood for you. Does he really love you? There's never a debate about it anymore when you realize that he shed his blood for you. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. That's what Jesus did. That's what our brave soldiers did for the freedom in our nation. And we honor God for that. We honor them for that. We pray for their families for that. And we celebrate our freedom for that. So let's pray together, and then we'll pick this up tomorrow. I want you to pray out loud with me. Pray this out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you that we have a church whose banner over us is love. Your banner over us is love. We have diversity with unity. We have differences without divisions. Thank you, Lord, that we have differences without divisions. And Father, I thank you that you value me. Say that. I thank you that you value me beyond measure. The blood of Jesus has brought me proof that you love me. And I choose to spend time in your presence because you welcome me to the throne of your grace by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Wow. Well, I'm so encouraged. I preached myself happy. I hope I preached you happy. And if I did, then send me a message, a note. Let me know you're listening and wait for and look forward to our daily bread tomorrow. I can't wait to see you then. God bless you guys. I'm with you. Let me know if you have any need at all. We're praying for you. God bless.